The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Happy PlayStation 5 Day, everybody. It is September 16th, Wednesday night. I am the host of the evening, the five-star man, Asa Gray. Joining me is, of course, the Big D, Dalton Anthony.
I got mine pre-ordered.
I did too, but that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about the PS5 showcase and pre-order debacle that is currently sweeping the internet by storm.
I didn't even watch the thing.
Oh, so good. But again,
that's not what we're talking about.
No, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted right here on the Podzilla 1985 network. If you want to hear our thoughts about the PS5 event, you're going to have to wait a few days. Monday night, we're going to be recording Nerd Up with, of course, Jesse Kimball. And we'll be talking all about, maybe there will be some more news. Maybe my pre-order has gotten canceled by then. It's very, very likely, given where it's from. So, but again, that'll be Nerd Up on Monday. And I'm excited for it because that presentation was hype. But, again, this isn't that show. This is wrestling. And there was a surprising amount of, like, I'm looking through my list and I was like, oh man, a lot of stuff, there's not a lot of huge stuff, but there's a bunch of smaller stuff. So, one thing that actually, there's a couple stories that broke today that we'll get to about NXT. But I want to, In the sake of, like, keeping the tone, I kind of want to just, unload all of the sad stories at the beginning. And that way we can get the heavy stuff out of the way, and then we can kind of screw around the rest of the show. Does that sound all right to you?
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. That works.
That way we're not, like, doing a weird jump around to, like, oh, hey, remember Wipeout? That's fun and sad. So clearly the saddest one is, I don't know if you've seen this or not, but Barry Scott, who is, if you watched TNA, you know, from years ago, back when it was on, you know, Spike, and when you think of those commercials and the hype packages and that amazing epic voice, that voice was Barry Scott. He unfortunately passed. So Barry Scott is the amazing, incredible voice that did all of the TNA videos, all of the Impact hype packages, things like that. He unfortunately passed away. Impact dedicated the past week's episode of Impact in his memory, and they put out a really, really sweet statement, actually, on Twitter. And let me get that. Usually I have my links already pulled up. But
is that the one you linked to me in the show notes?
Yeah, Impact on Twitter. We are deeply saddened to learn of the passing of Barry Scott. For years, Barry was the iconic voice of TNA wrestling, lending us gravitas and credibility. He will be dearly missed. And seeing them, like, that phrasing, that lending us gravitas and credibility, that kind of, like, clicked in my head. It was just like, oh, yeah. Yeah, that actually is very true. Like, you look at, you know, the six-sided ring was weird. That's not what WWE was doing. You know, there was a lot of, the production quality obviously couldn't match what WWE was doing because they didn't have $1 billion behind them. But when you heard those voice packages with, if you go to that post on Impact, like on Twitter, they've actually linked the response to that is, in tribute, we're going to post a number of the features Barry lent his incredible voice to. The intro to the October 1st, 2005 episode of Impact, the first episode on Spike TV. The intro to Bound for Glory. The intro to TNA on Access TV. Slammiversary 2012, Slammiversary 2018. Moose's personal introduction, which was his final appearance, apparently, which was this year, which I don't, I guess he was doing stuff more sporadically, but man, he was such an asset to them.
Yeah.
So that just sucks that he is, that he's passed away.
Yeah. It's one of those, it's a name that, like, it's not a name, you know, but it's a name that you've heard multiple times.
And this is one of the reasons that I actually love the idea of the Warrior Award for the Hall of Fame, for what he originally pitched it to be, not necessarily what WWE has made it. Because what the Warrior wanted the Warrior Award to be would be for the people whose names you don't know. You know, the cameramen, production people, referees, which I don't even know if referees would count because those are, you know, they're technically on-screen characters. But he meant, like, behind-the-scenes people. And this is someone, because you never saw him. It was just anytime there was that, you know, a hype package or a vignette. Then he would be, that you heard his voice.
Yeah.
And you immediately recognized his voice.
And honestly,
because holy crap, what a voice he had.
I mean, I obviously didn't know who it was before the announcement of his passing. So I saw it when I saw it when Impact initially posted it on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those where I was like, yeah, I didn't know who it was, but I like that voice is a voice that is in my brain. Because I watched a lot of Impact like in the mid 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, it's a bummer whenever you hear something like that, because it's somebody you don't know who it is, but they're entwined in a really, really cool part of wrestling history.
Right. Let's see. Other part of bad news is there was another round of releases from WWE this week. Unlike the previous one that we had, this one was almost entirely people behind the scenes, and a lot of it were the house show crew that were furloughed earlier this year with those other, like when the Good Brothers and Zack Ryder and all of them were cut. A lot of people behind the scenes, a lot of agents and producers were furloughed at the time. So, yeah.
And they were the ones that got the axe this time. Yeah.
Yeah. So, this one didn't get as much attention because it wasn't like on-screen people. It's not names you would immediately recognize from being, you know, when you hear Zack Ryder got released, like, okay, they weren't really doing anything with him on TV, but he was an on-air talent. It wasn't the case for a lot of these people. Although I'm sure the names that I have, I'm sure you'll recognize. I have seen at least one report that said upwards of 60 people were let go, including in that Gerald Briscoe, who has been there for 35 years, Mike Rotunda, who was formerly IRS, and was working as a agent or a producer for how he was doing house show stuff. And then Sarah Stock, who was one of the trainers at the Performance Center. And from what I could tell, those were kind of the three bigger names of people who were there for a while and have, you could point to and say, oh yeah, this person definitely had an impact while they were there.
Yeah. And it's only super frustrating because they're not losing money.
Right.
Like, that's the part that I'm like, man.
Like, I understand that it's, I don't know. It's a publicly traded company, so that does play a factor, but like, holy crap, this is such a, you know, they're the only company, like major wrestling promotion, as far as we know, that have made releases. Impact's hiring people. AEW is hiring people. And now you've got WWE doing huge talent cuts, and now they're doing these behind-the-scenes stuff, which, you know, sure, they're not doing live events, so you're essentially just kind of paying them to do nothing right now. But at the same time, like, you really, you know, Sarah Stock, she was a trainer. She was at the Performance Center. They've reopened the Performance Center. They're doing their classes again. Unless I missed something where they scrapped that. But, and I'm really curious if this means that I'm curious to see what the house show tours look like once those things restart.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to say when it's safe to restart, because looking at the world right now, stuff is going to restart before it's safe to restart.
yeah.
Which is just the unfortunate truth. So, but like, I'm, now that WWE can look and be like, oh dang, we are more profitable than ever without the cost of transporting all that equipment, paying the labor of setting everything up, tearing everything down. what does that look like? Are the days of the 300 days a year on the road, are those over? And I would bet that they probably are. I don't think they'll cut out live tours entirely, but I think we're going to start to see a dramatically reduced schedule. They may go hard at the beginning, like when they can.
Yeah.
Because I think by the time they do, people will be like chomping at the bit to be able to get out of the house and go see WWE live.
Yeah, because it's going to be one of those things that, like, they're going to sell out no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these tickets are going to go right away because people just want to go to live things. Right. Now, I'm not saying that's the best, like, course of action. But also my opinion, like, I also am aware that I'm an independent wrestler in 2020 that's been working shows. So, right. Like, I can't really throw shade. Like, I can't justifiably throw shade on WWE or AEW for running any kind of fans in a building because I have worked shows with fans.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just, the level of fans that they're going to have, I really hope that they respect social distancing and not run at a large number.
And I don't think, and I think there are still, you know, because there's still places that are requiring requiring reduced capacity, 15%, 10%. Like, there are places around the country, which maybe WWE just avoids those cities. Who knows what this will look like? But I, now that they're actually starting to release people who are in charge of, you know, putting those shows and those matches together, then does that impact it as well? I think that this is kind of a sign that they're not going to go into it like head first.
Yeah. I think what you said is probably going to be what happens, where they just go super hard at first and then have to pull back. That's what's going to happen.
And like, and I've already kind of changed my mind on that. Like, I don't know. Cause like, I have no idea what, because maybe they just bring in new people. There was, I think it was when he's since been fired, but like, do you remember when Lance Storm got hired? And it was like Lance Storm and Daivari and a couple other people got, Hurricane Helms.
It was a bunch of got early hired. To mid 2000 people.
Yeah, a bunch of people got hired as agents and as producers, and then they fired, like, Arn Anderson and a bunch of the old guard that were doing those jobs. So I'm curious if maybe they do something similar where, okay, we've gotten rid of Rotunda, we'll bring back Storm. Or, you know, granted, Gerald Briscoe was doing talent scouting, I believe. So, like, not all of, like, and Sarah Stock, like I said, was a trainer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if they just end up replacing these people with new blood outright. Do they bother to replace them at all? And just kind of, I feel like with talent scouting, you have to have a replacement there. Like, that it seems pretty crucial.
I think
if you want to continue to bring in people, or, you know, at this point, is it just someone's got Twitter open and is going through GIFs of indie matches? And be like, and looking at those.
Because I think Regal was doing that for the longest time.
Yeah, but I mean, he was. But now that he's like on air, you know, maybe he goes back to that. And granted, you know, you look at NXT now, and it's just like, okay, so someone bought a Battle of Los Angeles 2015 DVD, and that's NXT now. So, you know, maybe that's just what they do. They just look at PWG. And those other big independent companies, and are just like, okay, we own that. We're going to throw a bunch of money at them now.
I honestly think that with AEW, like, a lot of the talent scouting is just going to be waiting for certain people's contracts to lapse.
Well, and I kind of assumed with AEW they would be more aggressive with their talent scouting to keep them away from AEW. It's a known fact that WWE offers money to people just so. Because I don't want to use you. I just want to make sure they can't.
Yeah, and I think that happened so much in the last 5 years that I think that they're pretty content with their roster. Even, like,
because
at this point now, just throwing money at people, they're not even paying the people that they've had for
10 plus years. Because, I mean, look at your... They got rid of, like, it wasn't like whenever they got rid of Yoshitatsu and you're like, well, I mean, not really missing that piece of the puzzle anymore. But, like, when they got rid of, like, Cardona and they got rid of just a lot of people that were there for a good amount of time. Now, I mean, of course, like, they got rid of Canellis, but they also, like, they were just... It seemed very indiscriminate on the way that they were just getting rid of people.
Yeah, they were just kind of slash and burn.
Yeah, so it's one of those where it's like, they may not do that for a while, but I also feel like all of the people that AEW probably would have wanted out of that are already on NXT. Or even main roster, because they've had some call-ups recently.
That's true. Let's see, and then, so the firing, there was one. Oh, and then the other bit of unfortunate news, which isn't necessarily unfortunate news, but it's a follow-up to a story from last week. Last week we talked about Ivar doing the suicide dive and getting a potentially a stinger, but it was a neck, some sort of spinal injury. That is apparently worse than what they expected it to be, and he was set to undergo surgery today, actually, but I did not see any kind of update. I'm just going to look that up real quick. Yeah, it doesn't look like there's been any update on it other than from Wrestling Inc. Ivar reportedly set for neck surgery tomorrow. And that was, oh no, that was actually posted on the 14th. So he should have had the surgery yesterday if it went through. So that sucks. Apparently he's actually had neck issues for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a... that dive actually is what, you know, really tipped the scales and made things worse. So that sucks. And hopefully, you know, again, if he had the surgery, hopefully everything went well and it's a quick, easy recovery for him.
Yeah.
It's a spinal injury, so I doubt it will be, but you know, you always want to hope, you just want to hope for the
best.
And
it's super,
is really all you can
and
do.
I'm going to speak for you on this because I think me and you feel the exact same way. And by we hope by a quick recovery, we hope that he can get back to normal life as soon as possible. We don't really, like if he can wrestle again at full capacity, awesome. But that's not what we're really worried about. We're more worried about making sure that this human can still be a human.
Yeah, it's very much just like I'm just kind of going under the assumption of just like, no, quick recovery and safe recovery, full. Like, don't rush back into things, because we've seen that so many times of people coming back too soon, working hurt, and then just making everything worse.
Because, like, I'm... Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you never want to see that.
Yeah, because, like, I am super grateful that I got to see Tommaso Ciampa wrestle under WWE. Like, I was able to see him at War Games. But I am 10 times more grateful that he is able to live a normal life. Right. Like, I'm super excited I got to see him wrestle live. Even more excited that he's not, like, his neck injury didn't keep him from living a good life.
Right. Because that's obviously, like, wrestling is secondary.
Yeah.
Like, being able to move and just exist is much more important. So this is... This is the other one that I wanted to throw under the unfortunate news category, but it's completely understandable, and I'm going to read the entire statement because I think it's worth reading. But I talked about a couple weeks ago that Casey from Squared Circle Sirens passed away.
Yeah.
Unexpectedly. And the SC Sirens Twitter posted this on their Twitter account. On behalf of all of SCS, we'd like to thank everyone that has reached out with their love, support, and prayers over the loss of our owner and founder of Casey Michael over the last few weeks. All the kind words and love have put a smile on our face during an incredibly difficult time. It has become apparent to all of us that Casey's impact on women's wrestling will be felt forever. With that being said, Squared Circle Sirens was Casey's baby, his creation, and we feel that the legacy of the website should rest with Casey. As of today, September 14th, 2020, we are officially announcing that Squared Circle Sirens will cease operations. We'd like to thank all of our readers for the years of incredible support, and all the women's wrestlers that continue to forward an evolution on a daily basis. We love you, Casey. Love, Ciara Reed, Dennis Taylor, Jose Gonzalez, and Chris Riddle. So, Squared Circle Sirens is shutting down production. That is very sad because, one, like that note says, that the impact of SC Sirens will be a legacy. Like, that was such an important site, an important news source for women's wrestling. And losing Casey so suddenly has to have just absolutely rocked them. Like, I couldn't imagine that. That's awful. So it's selfishly, you know, you want to see this continue. It would be great to be able to see this go on, but I absolutely understand. And I would never criticize them for making this decision, which must've been, you know, the hardest decision they've had to make.
Yeah. And I totally understand why they're ceasing it. Mm-hmm. It's just a bummer when you see something like that. Cause like, that's something that Sadie followed. Like, right. That was a really cool Twitter follow. Like, she really liked following them because she's like the biggest women's wrestling fan I know.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I remember talking about it last week. She was super upset whenever she found out he passed away. And like, it's understandable. It's very respectful. I just hope that all of those people that were on that page continue to work within wrestling journalism.
Because mm-hmm.
from the way Sadie said, they did a really good job covering what they covered.
No, they did. Like, it's a great resource. I use them for this show tons of times. Like, pretty regularly I would get stuff off of their site, and stuff that they reported. So it's a blow to pretty much the entirety of the wrestling world. Like, this sucks for the women who the women who are getting that coverage and were getting that exposure. It sucks for, you know, other new sites that could cite them as a source to get stories out there. But I mean, obviously, mostly it's terrible for the team that worked there, as well as Casey's friends and family.
Yeah.
Which, again, like what we were talking about with Ivar, that's the most important thing. You know, if they felt they could not continue to do this work under the mantle that he created, that makes sense. Like, I am not trying to sound like I'm criticizing them even remotely, because I'm not.
Yeah.
It's just, man, it's just a heartbreaking story, and there's no other way around.
And it's also super important to note that is very much their call to make. It's nobody else's.
Exactly. Like, yeah.
It's super respectful. Is it a bummer? Yes. But at the same time, like, I understand it.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right. This is no one else's decision. Like, they don't owe anyone to continue with.
Yeah.
This is entirely their call. Those are really, to me, looking at what it was, like, those are the biggest stories of the week, but there is other stuff that we can talk about. One of the breaking stories from today is NXT announced they announced the next takeover. It's going to be Sunday, October 4th. We didn't get any sort of tagline, or anything like that. It's just, hey, we're doing another takeover. And I don't think there's like a... That's... Cause it's not in front of another pay-per-view, because it's on Sunday.
Yeah, it's a Sunday, because my birthday's on Saturday, the 3rd.
I was waiting for them... Well, I guess, when is Survivor Series usually?
November. That's November? Whenever, okay. Me and Sadie went to Chicago is last November.
Okay. So yeah, I was assuming they were going to do one in front of Survivor Series. So they may still, I kind of wish that they, and granted, this is, again, we record this while NXT and AEW are actively airing. So I'm missing all of the results and announcements. So it's entirely possible that by the time I finish this sentence, it's already outdated. But like, if you're going to run an NXT takeover in October, do it later in the month and do a Halloween Havoc.
Oh,
you own that name.
Oh man, don't I want that so bad.
Like, you could even, if they did a Saturday show, like, Halloween is on a Saturday this year. So, but if they did it that late in the month, then they definitely wouldn't. I feel like they, I don't say definitely because we literally just had SummerSlam into Payback week to week. So
we sure did.
Never mind. I'm not going to finish that sentence. but I don't know. That's cool. Mark it on your calendars. It'll be curious to see what I would assume that whatever happened on NXT tonight is kind of planting seeds for what those matches will be, because we're already halfway through September.
Yeah,
because
that pay-per-view will be in 2 weeks. Like, in 2 weeks we'll be doing the preview for it.
Yeah, there are only two NXTs between now and then. So, wow, that is... Putting it into that perspective just kind of screwed with me a little bit. Oh, God.
Yeah, it's really weird that they would, like, pitch that and then be like, all right, it's in 2 weeks.
I mean, okay, so this is, let's, everybody get your tinfoil hats and put this on with me. Is it? Because at this point, NXT, and again, because this is Wednesday night when I'm saying this, the numbers can come out tomorrow and you all can point and laugh at me. NXT has been pretty regularly being beaten in the ratings and the demographics by AEW. Yeah. We have now seen 2 weeks in a row that both shows do better when they're unopposed.
Yes.
If NXT's on Tuesday and AEW's on Wednesday, then, you know, both shows succeed. Like, they have a they both shows do great.
Yeah, they're not cannibalizing their own audience.
So instead of trying to continue to compete with AEW, you know, instead of doing a themed, you know, Great American Bash, you know, Wednesday the 30th or Wednesday the 7th, whenever they would want to do it, because even those themed shows have proven to not really move the needle too much, then okay, screw it. This is what we want to build to. There's something special that requires like this much attention. Screw it, we'll run a takeover. We own the building. We can do whatever we want. So screw it. Last minute takeover notice, and then they can start building towards it, you know, with these 3 weeks now.
Yeah, that's not a it's not a bad idea, and it's not a bad way to look at it.
But again, like I said, like we'll open up the ratings and Brian Alvarez will be like, NXT 900,000, AEW 720. Like, son of a... All right, you know what? Quit.
Maybe we were wrong.
It's gracious of you to say we, because I'm the one spouting it.
The rating stuff recently has been so insane, because we have just seen AEW kind of take over that, like, they've seemed to have been not... I'm not going to say beat the pants off of NXT, but they're starting to get a stronger foothold in that, like, holding the audience and that demographic, which, like, some people take a lot of stake in and some don't.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons that we typically don't talk about it, is because not only do we not truly understand it, it's just really not that... to me, at least, it's just not that interesting.
Yeah, the only reason, like, you would want to look into a demographic is you figure out where the money's coming from. With... the kind of wrestling show that AEW is, or the kind of wrestling fan, like the fans that are watching NXT and AEW, that demographic, which I think is like the 18 to 49 or whatever, or 35.
Yeah, that's the key. That's the key demo.
That's the one that AEW is they need to be super worried about getting for real. And
that's the one that they've been holding. Like, that's the one that they have been winning.
Yeah, because they're the ones that are... They're not a kid's show. Whereas, opposed to WWE, they make a lot of money on merchandise because they do all of their merchandise, like, in-home. That's why, like, action figures are such a big deal to WWE. Like, they are trying to sell to kids. And they're selling to kids through their parents, where it's like, kids want a John Cena action figure, so they really need to make sure they're pushing that kid demo just as much as they are pushing that 18 to 49... Whereas AEW really don't have that as much. Like, they are selling to us. Like, you're 30, I'm 27. They are really they really need to make sure they get our dollar. So that's why that demographic, that key demographic, is so important to them. It's the same thing with, like, Eric Bischoff, like, in the WCW. He was more worried about the 18 to 49 than he was 18 and under. Or 50 plus.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which I need you to watch Being the Elite, because they do a constant 50 plus seconds for 50 plus. And they've recently had Christopher Daniels do it because, and I quote, he's old.
Poor guy. No, I've actually, so the YouTube channels that I follow, and this has nothing to do with anything, so I apologize. The usually what I do on my lunch break is I pick up food or I eat whatever I brought. Just kidding. I pick up food and I sit in my car because it's out of the office, and I just watch YouTube while I'm eating lunch. And it's always Thursday is the day that the channels that I regularly keep up with either don't put anything out, or like Funhouse, I think is the, I think Funhouse puts out like Dude Soup on Thursdays, which is not something I can start, you know, on my lunch break. So I'm usually like kind of scrambling, like, oh man, what do I, there's nothing new. So I kind of think I might just start doing, knock out a couple episodes of Being the Elite on Thursday and get caught up in a few weeks.
Yeah, because they run, they air everything on Monday. I haven't seen this week's yet, but again, I think with all of the goofy, because it's not just like the Bucks and Kenny anymore.
Right, it's pretty much the AEW locker room.
Yeah, and there's so many great like bits. Like,
but I have to remind you, it's going to be a minute until I get there, because the last episode I watched was when I binge watched so I could watch 100.
Yeah. But like, as much as I know you love Brody Lee, you are going to insanely love Brody Lee on Being the Elite.
That's why I have, that's why I'm having to try to find that. Oh God, they're at 221 episodes.
I would say start, like figure out when they did, like whenever AEW started, like the Dynamite.
Yeah.
And then kind of,
I'm a completionist. Oh, I'm hardcore. I'll take them all.
Jesus Christ.
That's why I have to keep collecting the AEW figures, because I want a Mr. Brody Lee real bad.
Same. Mid-October, so I'm getting wave two. All of them.
I'm getting wave one in November.
Yay.
And then hopefully I'll get, hopefully I need Ringside Collectibles. If anyone from Ringside Collectibles or knows anyone at Ringside Collectibles is listening to this, just saying, open for sponsorships. We've said it multiple times. I am for sale. I will absolutely be bought. I have no standards or morals when it comes to
money.
That's not true. But for Ringside Collectibles,
have we gone over, like, me and you, like, personally, or in that group chat we're in, have we gone over the fact that none of the figures for Unrivaled 2 are up? Like, they're all gone now?
Yeah, we've mentioned that, which is heartbreaking.
Okay,
because
I know a couple days ago it was just the two left. Now it's none of them.
Yeah, so fingers crossed there's a restock.
There will be.
Anyway, well, that we won't report on that, because that'll give me a better chance to score those online first.
Yup.
Once I get them checked out, then we'll report the news.
Hell yes.
Let's see, what else was there? So on top of the firings, there's a couple new signings across the board. Earlier today, Wade Barrett officially signed on as the new color commentator for NXT. That's awesome. Big fan of him. I think he does a fantastic job on commentary. So I'm excited to see him kind of, you know, no one can fill the shoes that Mauro is leaving behind, but Wade Barrett is a solid consolation prize. And I mean that as respectfully as possible, because that sounds shitty and I don't mean it to. And then Will Hobbs has officially signed with AEW. He's someone who's been on a handful of AEW darks. He was in that the Casino Battle Royal at All Out a couple weeks ago. He's someone that I had never heard of until AEW, but from what I've seen, I like him, and I'm excited to, you know, I mean, I'm excited to learn more about him.
Yeah, that's the cool thing. Like, AEW was really smart with getting a bunch of independent talent to come in during the quarantine time, because they were just having open tryouts that they were getting to profit off of, because they were just putting up on dark and they were getting a lot of really good talent that way. There was a really good do you remember I think his name was like Robert Anthony or something like that, but he was on dark a whole lot. He was actually a school teacher, so it was perfectly fine for him to go do this during the summer because he had nothing to do. And his like first day back from school, I think his school was like virtual or something, he tweeted out that a parent got on the Zoom and asked him if he could talk to Moxley for him.
Yeah, because he's apparently because I think Moxley tweeted about him specifically because of how much of a fan he is of him.
Yeah.
So.
And it was just that moment of just like, that's a level of pissed off that I think if I was a teacher, I would be. If like a parent was like, hey, can you talk to insert name here for me? But that's super cool that they get to do that, that he could do that to him.
Put a pin in this because I feel like we'll have a little bit of time after, but I want to talk to you about this to just kind of put it in the back of your mind. How you feel about AEW kind of unofficially bringing back designated job people.
Okay.
For Dark. So just we'll put a pin in that. We might come back to that next week. Yeah. But those are some good news. And then there was one of this one hasn't been announced, but on Talk is Jericho, he's claiming that Serena Deeb has been signed to AEW following her match with Thunder Rosa last week.
Okay.
So that was something that I was very hot. Like, I was like, no, they should definitely sign her. They need someone who has that experience to really supplement the women's locker room.
Yeah.
So I hope that's true. We're waiting to get the official... We're waiting to get the official word in.
And that's...
Though, so...
That's basically like a Mickey James hire for them, where it's you just have somebody that just knows what they're doing.
Right.
That can work anybody. And is really good. Like, that's the important part. Mm-hmm. But, like, also, just as you have somebody with that much knowledge, you scoop the chance to get pick them up.
Right. Not a new signing, but Jeff Hardy did an interview with BT Sport, and he confirms that he has signed a new contract with WWE. Part of that contract includes that once... part of the contract is that he gets his No More Words theme back, but he's going to wait until they can perform in front of a live crowd before they debut it. So more than likely, whatever the first show in front of people that Jeff Hardy is on is when we're going to get No More Words as his entrance theme, as opposed to just the Hardy Boys theme.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, it's
are you?
It's so good.
Are you surprised that he re-signed with WWE, or did you think he was going to maybe join Matt in AEW, or you know, go back to Impact?
I think he made the smart choice. Basically, my thought process is he is one of those guys that doesn't know how to not go 110%.
Mm-hmm.
And I think going to AEW or Impact is probably had the potential to not be the most safest thing for him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, especially because, like, granted, and maybe this is an unfair comparison, but we've already seen TNA be a very poor choice for him when it comes to his health and his personal health. We've got the name Jeff Hardy. Go out there no matter what.
Yeah.
I feel, and now the kind of, I don't want to, I'm not going to.
The Matt Hardy stigma. That we can just call it that. We can just call it that.
Well, because I was trying to think of how to phrase it, because it, you know, the incident with Matt Hardy has kind of, that's given AEW's credibility when it comes to wrestler safety a black eye. I think they have some work to do to be able to convince people that they're taking it as seriously as they really should.
Yeah, and it's the whole thing. It's when we talked about the Matt Hardy thing, like, we were able to go back and be, there's a fistful of times that we were like, was that the smartest choice?
Right.
And at the end of the day, like, yes, these are grown men, and they ultimately are going to do what they're going to do, but there needs to be a, like, you should want to protect your investment. It goes back to my Kairi Sane argument from a couple months back, well, almost a year ago at this point, but the whole, you shouldn't want people to get hurt and then have them keep going. Because that's, and this sounds gross, but it's less money that you're going to be able to make with them down the road.
Yeah, it's when you have to frame capitalism as like, no, you have to do the right thing because, like, not because it's right, but because it's profitable.
Yeah, I put it in business terms. Gross. I also think that we should just not try to, like, if somebody's hurt, you shouldn't try, you should stop the amount of hurt that they can get more.
Well, and like Ivar, whenever if you watch that clip of him, when he hits the dive, he knows something is wrong. He throws up the X himself to call for help.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, there's so many stories of, okay, do they, you know, oh, well, you wrestle through the injury to prove you take it as serious. And it's like, I'm fine with us moving past that era.
Yeah, because, like, I remember the Sin Cara broken finger incident.
Right.
And I remember at the time thinking, like, really? A broken finger? That did it?
I think it was because it wasn't even a broken finger. Like, I think it was just, like, dislocated or something.
Well, yeah.
Or, like, sprained, or it was something that was, like, when you compare calling the match there to, like, Triple H continuing to finish a match with a torn quad, or, you know, any of the times you look at these, like, really terrible injuries that people just power through. Which I'm not saying the people who do that don't deserve credit, because they do. Like, that is badass and, like, good on ya. But realistically, is it the smart thing to do? More than likely not.
Yeah, because it's one of those, like, personally, I think if I dislocated my finger, I don't think I would know that that happened in a match. Like, mm-hmm. I would know what would happen after the match. Because, like, I remember explaining to you, like, the whole botched dive spot that happened to me. I wasn't even totally aware that my lip was cut open until I spit blood. Mm-hmm. And, like, that was, like, a hole was torn through my mouth. And, like, I knew my tooth was broke, but it's because I felt that instantly. But, like, I wasn't even aware of it. So it's one of those things, like, if I don't know that my lip is hanging off, I don't know if I would notice my finger. But also, good on Sin Cara for being like, no, I'm hurt. Now, yeah. It's your finger. Is that the biggest deal in the world? I mean, no. But when you're doing things with your hands in wrestling, which you have to, like, there's nothing to say that it couldn't have become worse. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole, like, line you pay. Like, Jonathan Porterfield has all the respect in the world for me for breaking his leg and still wrestling another 6 minutes.
Yeah, that's superhuman.
Yeah.
Really, and again, like, when you think about but at the same time, it's like, I'm mad at him because it's like, precious cargo. Because
do you remember what that asshole said at the ER whenever we went after we tore the ring down? And how mad I got about it? I wasn't a worker yet, but he said, yeah, I'm sorry, the match didn't go the way I wanted it to. And I yelled at him. I was like, don't ever fucking say that to me again. You.
Yeah, it was like the same thing with Billy and when he bruised his ribs.
Yeah.
Against EC3, where it's just like, I get that frustration. Like, I mean, I don't really, because I'm not in that position, and I understand that, like, if I took a bump correctly, I'm probably would just be like, no, I'm done, I quit, fuck you, like, I'm not gonna keep doing this, no, this is stupid.
But a couple years that removed, I apologized to Garrett after the dive spot, because I ruined the match. Because mm-hmm. I was like, because I apologized to him before he apologized to me. It's because I beat him to it. It wasn't because he didn't say sorry. It's because before he got a chance to say anything, I had it. Yeah, wrestlers are insane. Like,
yeah, there's some craziness,
but to
wind things back to where we were. Yeah, Jeff Hardy, new WWE contract. I didn't see any details like how long it is, but at this point I have to assume he retires there. And that's like this could potentially, however many years a deal this is, could be his final contract. Like, I can't say that I would be surprised. I also wouldn't be surprised if he wrestled for another 30 years, because the dude's made out of whatever Gumby is. So,
which is so shocking with his style.
You'll have to kind of carry this one, because I haven't watched it yet, because I'm trying to go in relatively radio quiet. But the trailer for Mandalorian Season 2 hit, and we got our first look at Sasha Banks in it. How much was she in the trailer? Was it just, like, pretty much that one screen?
It was one screen, and they alluded to her being a certain group of people within the Star Wars universe. Mm-hmm. If you see the picture, it's pretty easy to figure out that she's one or the other of a very famous set of characters.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't know which set she is. They made it kind of obvious by the trailer, but that could just be the trailer pulling a bait and switch.
Gotcha.
But it's super cool that she's in it at all.
Yeah, and I also kind of like the idea that they're doing, it looks like they're doing weekly episodes again, so I don't have to worry about, like, binging everything through. We can just kind of watch it as it comes out. We'll only worry about one episode at a time, and then you don't have to do the really awkward, like, okay, so, wait, how far into it are you? I don't know how many episodes I've seen, but, like, have you seen this thing happen? No, I haven't seen that yet. What the, I prefer this model, honestly. I know not a lot of people do, but it works out. As long as I don't get behind like I did in the first season.
I really, really like watching it in chunks. Mm-hmm. I remember watching it like the first episode when it first dropped, because I wanted to see what the show was about, and that was before we really knew anything about the child, because they kept that ignorantly quiet. Like, they kept that whole like twist at the end of episode one, like, a lot of people didn't know that was a thing. And are you still there?
Yes.
Okay, good. It got quiet, and I was like, please tell me that we're still...
Because I'm listening to you.
I'm sorry. I'm used to Hunter and Shane. They kept that so quiet, and I'm happy that I watched episode one by itself, but then I waited like 4 weeks, and then I got caught back up, and then I waited till like the season finale happened, and then I watched the last 4 episodes. Like, in a row, so that way I could just watch it and not worry. I think me and Sadie watched it to where it was like, all right, cool, we watched all of them, and then the last episode came out, like, 2 days later. And that's mm-hmm. whenever the internet was, like, set on fire for a week, because we were like, we swear to God, if you do anything to this puppet, we are gonna burn Disney down.
Oh, bad news.
Yeah, they got to stay in business. They did good.
But... so yeah, that'd be cool. It'll be interesting to see how big of an impact she plays in the season. Season one, there were a lot of one-off characters, so maybe she's only in, I don't think we know how many episodes she's actually in, so maybe she'll have a bigger part in the show. She may only just be around for that single episode, but either way, it's cool. Be on the lookout for it.
Yeah.
And then speaking of TV, the last two stories, I'm just gonna lump into one. We got news that Wipeout is coming back, and it is going to be hosted by John Cena as well as Nicole Byer. If you're listening to this podcast, you know who John Cena is. If you don't know, Nicole Byer is a delightful human being who, she's the host of Nailed It on Netflix, and she also was in an episode of The Good Place.
Okay.
So, that's super cool. Wipeout is a fun show. I honestly didn't even know it had ended, because I don't watch cable. Whenever Fall Guys was coming out, that was my go-to comparison, was Wipeout. Yeah. So, but that's it.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, that'll be, Cena in that role, because he is, you know, ridiculously charismatic and fun. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Like, I'm sure he'll do great. It's one of those things, like, you know, anytime we hear someone throw together, like, oh, yeah, I like this person and this person. And it's just like, oh, crap, yeah, that's a match I need to see. Why didn't I think of that before? This is one of those, like, John Cena hosting Wipeout. And in my head, it's just like, yes, yes, that is correct.
Yeah, that's the answer we want. So mm-hmm. I think John Cena has a cameo. And I'm only saying this because we mentioned him.
Oh, like a cameo account. I was confused. I was like, a cameo and no, he's hosting.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah,
It's not just a cameo.
He has like a cameo account, and somebody on one of the figure pages I'm a part of, I think it's Ryder and Hawkins. I still can't get Myers and Cardona right, but anyway, I was like, somebody like I guess paid for a cameo from him, and in the like description, mm-hmm. he said, "Hey, it's my birthday or whatever. Can you cut a promo on me?" And he's doing the cameo, and he was like, you said you want me to cut a promo on you. So I had to Google what that meant. And he was like, it says to go over a promotion. So then he promotes his children book that's coming out. Mm-hmm. And he does a synopsis of his book that's coming out soon. He's like, I hope you enjoyed my promo. Have a great day. And it's one of those where it's like, oh, you are still just the biggest a-hole about things, but well played. Because this person just paid probably a couple $100 for you to plug your book in just the most smart-ass way.
And on the one hand, like, I wonder if they would be mad about it. But on the other hand, would that be fun? Like, I hope they took that.
So I'm pretty sure it was the Hawkins and Ryder page, the Facebook page, like the Patreon page. And the person that like shared it was the guy that it was for. And he was just like, he put LOL John Cena cut a promo on me.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. He was a good sport about it. Yeah, that's funny. And then the next one is, this was weird. AEW teased a big Cody announcement at the end of last week's episode. And because the last time we saw Cody, he was being taken out on a stretcher after being murdered by Mr. Brody Lee and the Dark Order, everyone kind of assumed it was going to be like a, oh, is Cody going to have to like take time off because of injury? You know, is it going to be storyline related? Nope. It's that he is hosting a new, or I'm sorry, he is not hosting. He is going to be a judge on a new TBS game show. Or, well, I guess it's like a talent competition. It looks like America's Got Talent, just weirder. Bert Kreischer is actually the host. If you don't know that name, go to YouTube.com and search Bert Kreischer Russia. And just watch that.
His Netflix specials are pretty solid.
Yeah, he had a Travel Channel show where he was going to different theme parks. And it was just him riding roller coasters, screaming his head off. It was weirdly entertaining. Cody's other judges joining Cody will be Rosario Dawson, Jennifer Nettles, who I actually don't know who that is.
She was the lead singer of a country band called Sugarland.
That is why I've never heard of her. And rounding out the fourth and final host is Snoop Dogg. Hell yeah.
I was about to explain to you who Snoop Dogg was just as a joke.
Oh, you son of a... I'm here for the Cody. I'm here for the Cody Snoop Dogg interactions, if I'm gonna be completely honest. That's the only thing I care about.
If you want to know what my Snoop Dogg explanation was gonna be, was he was a special unlockable character in True Crime Streets of LA. That's how I was gonna describe him to you.
He was the star of a canceled video game called Fear and Respect. I'll go deeper on you, boy.
That's what she said.
The name of the show is The Go Big Show, which, when I tried to search it, left me to a bunch of just Big Show show.
Yeah.
Like, it was, ugh. So, anyway, that it's an interesting show. Actually, interesting enough, both Wipeout and The Go Big Show will be on TBS. So.
That makes sense.
Interesting. But that's it for the news. Like I said, there were not a ton of like really big stories. So for the remaining 8 minutes, I'm going to pose you this question. When you look at AEW Dark versus AEW, it's almost like it's two separate rosters. Because you have the main roster that regularly appears on AEW Dynamite, I should say. And then you have AEW Dark, which is more for, it's kind of the undercard show. It's similar to, you know, Heat or Velocity that used to air, or I guess nowadays would be Main Event.
Yeah.
However, there are people who appear almost exclusively on Dark, and usually they go up against people who are on Dynamite. So, you know, you look at Pineapple Pete, Shug Dunkerton, who was actually on Raw this week in the Underground. That was kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, he was.
And, you know, his AEW record is like 0-8 because he goes up and he loses to the person that, you know, AEW is going to focus on. So do you like that idea that pretty much anytime you see, you know, like a named guy, like this is where they're putting their, you know, squash matches, even though they're not all squash matches, like some of them are pretty competitive. But, you know, it's very rarely in question who is going to win.
Yeah.
Do you like that philosophy that they have kind of, because as opposed to like WWE has guys that pretty much always lose now, but every once in a while that, you know, you get that thing of like, oh, there's a random kick and no, you know what? We are going to get behind Ricochet for this 3-week period.
Yeah. I personally I very much miss the days of job guys and squash matches, just as a whole. And, like, I get why it's not... You don't really want to do that if you're a major company, because you want everybody to seem important, so that way you can make... You can seemingly make money with anybody at any time. So that's why we see 50-50 booking at WWE, because they don't want to put somebody so far under unless that's what they want to do. Like, the Curt Hawkins defeated streak, he was so behind doing that because he was able to, like, market it, and because he's that kind of person. Mm-hmm. Like, me personally, I have pitched squash matches where I have gotten squashed because I'm like, no, I just want to get this person or team over more, because if they have an impressive victory, their next step is even better. And, like, I'll figure out myself later. It's not a big deal. I miss squash matches. I like that AEW Dark does them. I think they do it a lot better than main roster WWE does, because they will put Braun Strowman... Like, how many Braun Strowman squash matches did we see whenever he went solo? Like, it was, like, every week for, like, 2 months. He just killed somebody. And it was nice to see, but whenever that's all you're doing, AEW will do it, but then not have it be the same squasher every time. They'll kind of, like, pass that buck around. I like that they do it, because it does really cement their stars as dangerous and, like, formidable.
Right, and it does... Because that's the old school mentality. Like, that's what you used to see with, like, WWF was, you know, you have guys who would just obliterate these people every week, so then whenever they actually faced someone else who was just regularly obliterating people, it was seen as like this, oh, big deal, like, okay, now we've got a show here, you know, what's gonna happen. My issue with it, and it's not that I dislike it, because I do think it absolutely has its place, especially if, you know, they're not actively, you know, they only have one show a week. You have 2 hours to fit in this huge roster that AEW has. Sometimes it is good to just see, you know, SCU isn't really doing anything of substance on Dynamite right now. So to see them, like, in a tag match, it's like, okay, this is where you can see SCU. They're going to put on a great show, and it keeps them from just being completely out of sight, out of mind. The only issue that I have with it is even though, like, 90% of the time you watch WWE, you know who's going to win. Like, okay, this is the person they're behind. You know, this is the way the momentum is trending. Mm-hmm. They're likely not going to divert against that. But there is still that, yeah, but what if they decide this week, okay, Cedric Alexander, he's off with the Hurt Business.
Yeah, what happens if Giff Garrison actually wins a match?
Exactly. That's not going to be a question that's answered, ever. So it takes away some of the, like, fun. But I'm also, like... But you know how sensitive I am with, like, spoilers.
Yeah.
So it's just, like, if the outcome is already, like... If I already know the outcome, to me, personally... Again, this is just a totally personal thing. There's not a lot of incentive into watching it. I don't watch a ton of AEW Dark. I did watch the Peter Avalon-Brandon Cutler match, though. For who is the worst wrestler in AEW.
Yeah, about to say that's the absolute definition of a job guy.
It was a solid match. Like, it wasn't bad, but the ending of it was actually kind of fun. Like, it's not that I genuinely thought that they were going to have, like, we were going to have a winner, and then it was going to be that pursuit of not necessarily a defeated streak, but since AEW actually, like, keeps track of wins and losses, just, you know, a conquest to you know, avenge that and to finally get that first win.
Yeah.
But they didn't do that. They did something, honestly, I think even better.
Yeah.
Because we've had enough, like, odd pairings. Oh, I actually don't like you, but we're going to work together, tag teams. I'm glad that they didn't just keep going that route, because they were working together for a while. Go ahead. And then there was one thing from Raw that I wanted to mention.
Yeah, so this, I think it got posted this morning, but Chris Jericho's 700th episode got posted, and they decided they were going to do Talking Shop, brought to you by Talk is Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Good Brothers Jericho and Rocky Romero. Gallows, I think, was the only one drinking at first.
Shocker.
And
actually, no, you know what? It's Jericho. That is a shocker.
Yeah, well, that was the thing, because Anderson was apparently completely sober. I think you would really like the episode, because it was pretty funny. But you do have to skip the ads. The first ad, he had Gallows read with him live, and it did not go well. But the rest of them, he did the cutaways. But I guess Gallows started getting a little too sauced up, and he didn't give away the ending like Enzo did. Mm-hmm. But he did give away the main event for Talking Shop of Mania 2, which is going to air in November. It's going to be Chad Too Bad versus Sex Ferguson in a ball for a ball match.
Jesus
so
Christ.
As Sex Ferguson said, "You buried me alive, I'm going to rip your nuts off." So they got my $15 again, Asa. That's not even I hope I don't wrestle that night. Because I had to wrestle and then get home so I could watch Talking Shop of Mania. I hope I'm just off that night. Because right. I need to be sports entertained. Gosh dang it.
And that's what it's going to be. So there's actually two things on Raw that I wanted to mention. One, I like that it looks like Zelina Vega is going to be the next challenger for Asuka for the Raw Women's Championship. Big fan of that. Glad to see Zelina Vega actually get spotlighted as a wrestler.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to, it doesn't really count, but I'm giving myself a half point at least in the called it, because we didn't talk about it last week, but I think they did it again this week. Retribution hacking into the Thunderdome and didn't replace all of the fan cams with individual people, but they did totally take it over with their logo. We also got the Hurt Business offered to be the private security for a price, and they actually did take on eight people or more than that, 12 people at once, just the four of them during the main event. So I thought that was a neat wrinkle.
That is one of the coolest things that they have done with that group.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be cool to see. Plus now we actually have a Retribution type of mission statement. Looks like it's a bunch of people from the Performance Center who were promised, all of this, but aren't getting what they feel isn't their fair shake. So now they're just going to take it. Except they're not, it's not like the Nexus where they're just okay, no, you know what? We're going to be a big deal until you can't ignore us. And you embarrassed us for all these weeks. And now it's our turn for revenge. It's just we're just going to disrupt the show a lot.
Yeah, which negates what they're trying to do.
Still kind of dumb, yeah. But, it's more, now that we've seen, I think, Dijakovic and Mia Yim have all but been confirmed. They'll be one of the handful that's actually unmasked.
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet, but I don't know. SmackDown, we finally got the Bayley-Sasha Banks break. Bayley attacked Sasha, put her on the stretcher. So we had that. I don't know.
I really hope
I'm
that...
still just constant.
Oh, go ahead.
I feel like I should apologize because my heart is not in it tonight because I'm still coming down off of the PS5 event and checking my email to see if my pre-order has been canceled.
I mean, I was selling things right when the show started to pay off my PS5. So no, it was both of us. I feel like we gave the fans a good hour of audio. We took care of them.
We did it. Was there anything else from the week in wrestling you wanted to mention? Or...
No, I'm super excited over the fact that they're doing a Talking Shop of Mania 2. I enjoy goofy shit in wrestling, and I enjoy it even more when it's people that are having fun. I think that's it.
The first one was the first one was goofy as hell. So they're going to try to top themselves the second
time. Yeah, apparently they really ruined Gallo's house, though. I need you to listen to that episode.
Oh, that's great. All right, well, that is going to do it for another edition of Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Like I said, on this coming Monday, we're going to do Nerd Up, which is going to feature, of course, our reactions to the Sony 5 press conference. Sony 5, PlayStation 5. I give up. You know what? All right, restarting the show. Sony PlayStation 5 press conference. As well as other things in the world of news. We'll go more in depth about the Mandalorian trailer and all sorts of stuff. Don't forget, you can go to podzilla1985.com, check out older episodes, check out the new chapter of PZ85 Plays, where our own Jesse Kimball has joined in on the roster for their Star Wars campaign that they're running. That's a good time. I believe we're doing, it's going to be PZ85. Oh, are we doing 80 tomorrow, or is that going to be on Friday?
80 is going to be tomorrow. The Friday show has been tabled.
Okay. So, but keep an eye here on your podcast feed, wherever it is that you listen to us, which if you do listen to us, we appreciate the hell out of you. Of course, some last minute plugs, prowrestlingtees.com/DaltonAnthony. Get your Big D merch while you can. Get it, get it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just pre-ordered a PS5. Guys, please buy shirts.
And then, of course, twitch.tv/the5starman. I officially kicked off Mario Mondays on this past Monday, and I hate myself for it. It turns out I am friggin' terrible at Mario.
What game did you start with?
So I started with, and I'm going to make my way through the All-Stars collection.
Ooh.
So I'm doing Super Mario 1 on Super Mario All-Stars.
Yeah.
I kind of hate it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if it's just been a while since I've played 1. I think Mario Maker has me ruined because, like, I can't jump off of enemies. Also, my controller just was not responding to me at times. I spent like 35 minutes on the same number of the same little, like, world five made me its bitch.
Yeah.
Essentially, so that if you want to laugh at me, join me there. I'm trying to get my schedule for Twitch actually figured out, because Fridays will be for sure, Mondays I'm doing, because what I want to do is I want to beat all of the Mario games on stream, so like Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3 on this one, and then I'll get into the 3D All-Stars pack. So I'll start with 64 into Sunshine into Galaxy.
I am.
So that's going to be, you know, months worth of Mondays set.
I am so pumped.
Plus, like, Mario Mondays, like, it's got the alliteration.
Yeah.
It's themed. I think that's going to kind of keep me on target. And then Fridays are, like, I'll just kind of do whatever. I think because I've played so much of it on stream, I will end up beating Arkham Asylum on stream.
Oh, that's so good.
And then there's some other stuff that I want to get to and play more of on stream, on top of, you know, just random installments of Fall Guys and Fortnite.
Yeah.
Which I just unlocked Dr. Doom, oh, by nice. The way. So
I'm half debating on getting the PS5 camera, because you can pre-order it too, just mm-hmm. so I can do some streams.
I think you should do a headset first.
I have headsets.
So I can play with you. Okay, well, we're ending the show here, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to us. podzilla1985.com. hit us on the socials. It's all at podzilla1985, and until next time, we will see you later. I hope you have a great night.